All right. Well, we should get into this, and I'm going to, unfortunately, you're going to have to hear some more about Mormonism here, because I just can't get it. I've been studying this, and I can't get it out of my system here that I got to preach through this and show you the truth of what Mormonism really is. So we're going to talk about Mormonism. Today, this morning, we're going to talk about Mormonism as pagan polytheism. Okay, and that's what it is. And if you don't know what those terms are, I'm going to kind of explain them to you here. But you need to understand something. First and foremost, what you have to understand is just because somebody uses the terms the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, it does not mean that they are talking about the same deity that you are talking about. It does not mean they're speaking of the Godhead of Christianity. And I think there's some confusion there, and that's why you have this melting pot in America of this ecumenical movement. That's why you see so many Christians vote for Mitt Romney, okay? And so many Christians that like Glenn Beck, and I don't like Glenn Beck. I think Glenn Beck's a devil-possessed wicked man. He needs to throw away his spiritual underoos and get his mind out off of Kolob and get saved by the grace of God is what his problem is. Because he's mixing a lot of things together. And he talks about this awakening and this other stuff as if he could lay some claim to the awakening that took place, the great awakening took place in America from biblical Christianity. That's a joke. They were a bunch of polygamists, a bunch of wicked, devilish polygamists that ran around, that devil-possessed people. We went through the history of Mormonism. We talked to you about that. Their founders, how their founder had a talisman. He was a high-level astrological witch. Had a lot of power. And he was just wicked, dark, deceptive devil is what he was. And just a fornicating pervert. Just like the God that they serve is a fornicating pervert. And you're going to understand that. That's the next message. I'll save that one for the next hour here. What we're going to talk about right now is Mormonism is pagan polytheism. That's what it is. So what is that? Well, I'm going to share that with you here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4 says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And the companion verse to that would be found in Mark chapter 12, verse number 29. There's your second witness there. There's many more for that, by the way. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd bless us now. Help us to understand these great truths from your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, what does that mean exactly? How do you reconcile that? It's something to think about. Okay, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord, but yeah, but there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Boy, that's quite a bit to understand, to wrap your brain around, okay? And Joseph Smith had a meltdown with it, and Brigham Young had a meltdown with it, because they didn't have the Holy Ghost of God, so they couldn't discern what the Bible means about that. So they had to make up the fact that they said there were three gods. Not just one, but there were three gods. Okay, and they were all separate gods. And I'm going to show you how they believe that. And what they believe is nothing more than polytheism. That's what they believe. And if you don't understand that, you'll be confused. You'll say, well, see, they're saved. I mean, they believe in Jesus. No, they don't. Not the Jesus of the Bible, which we covered on Wednesday. And they certainly don't believe in the God of the Bible. They do not believe in the same God that you do. And you have to understand that. As you deal with people, when you see neighbors or friends or other people on the street, you've got to understand, when they speak of God and they're Mormons, they're not speaking of the God of the Bible. They're not. They may use similar terms, but they're not speaking of the same thing. And by the way, this isn't being preached about today, hardly ever, because none of these discerning things are being talked about today from pulpits. There's people that just, they join a political movement and they all join together, right? And Mitt Romney's push and Glenn Beck's push in the last elections or the elections before when Mitt Romney was running, all that push was, well, we all serve the same God. What did George Bush say too? Well, we all serve the same God. Well, I know you all do. You're right, you do. But it's not the same one that we serve, the God of the Bible.
Yeah, right.
Well, Christianity is called monotheistic, okay? It's monotheism is what Christianity is. I'm going to explain that to you here. Monotheism means the doctrine or belief of the existence of one God only. That's what Christianity believes, that we have one God only. That's all that we have. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So we see over and over again in the Word of God that we have only one God. And this is what separates us from paganism. This is what separates us and the other heathen religions that are out there today. That we believe there is one God. Amen? Where all the other religions are likened to like Hinduism and things like that, they believe in multiple gods. They are polytheists. They are polytheism is what they believe in. They believe in multiple gods, not just one God. And what you have to understand is some of these missionaries go over to these countries that believe in polytheism, that have followed that, and they just add Jesus in, and they'll say a Jesus prayer, and they'll say they're saved, and all they've done is add Christ to their other gods. Why? Because in polytheism, one God is not offended by the other. It doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter. And that's what they believe. Galatians chapter 3:20 says this. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Amen? There's another one. God is one. Galatians chapter 4:8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. By nature, none of the others that call themselves gods are really like, they're not the God of the Bible. We know that they're devils, they're fallen angels. But they're not eternal in nature as the God of the Bible. That's what separates the God of the Bible. He was never created. Amen. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 2 talks about the eternalness of God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, you're going to see, I'm giving you these verses right now because when we get into the Mormon God, you're going to see, wait a minute, something doesn't add up here. This is not, wait, they claim to serve the God of the Bible, but this isn't the God of the Bible. You're going to see as we describe it. How about Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6? For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why is that important? It's very important that you understand the God of the Bible does not change. What does that mean when I say the God of the Bible does not change? Because the Bible says that God repented that He had made man on earth, so then He changed His course, right? He changed His mind. Yes, but that did not change the nature of who God is. God's nature never changes. That's what you have to understand. God in His essence, in His nature, and who He is, never changes. Why doesn't He ever change? Intrinsically, His nature, why does it ever change? Because He's eternal. And it's impossible for someone that is eternal not to be immutable at the same time. It's impossible. He has to be both. What's that? That's right. It is the very nature of God. It doesn't change. God does not change. And that's what He meant by that. That's what He was saying by that. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Listen, this is important because when we get into Mormonism here in a second, you're going to have to understand and say, well, I can't reconcile these scriptures with what Mormonism teaches. So therefore, Mormonism is polytheistic or polytheism. They believe in multiple gods and it's not the God of the Bible. He says, before me, there was no God formed. Now, that's important when you start talking about Mormonism here. Before me, there was no God formed. Look at this. Neither shall there be after me. That's important. Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Who's that? Jesus. I am the first. Wait a minute. So, wait. Look at this. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. God is a Trinity. Okay, you can say the Godhead. So say, I don't like using that word Trinity. For sake of familiarity, we can use the word Trinity, okay? I understand that it's been bastardized by some, but you can get over that, okay? I think people know what we're talking about when we explain that, okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, please. I'm going to give you just a little bit of basis here, then we're going to get moving. This is by no means an exhaustive treatise on the Trinity. I'm just going to shoot a verse here to you. We've taken care of this and talked about the Trinity in other sermons, so I'm not going to go down that road here today with that, because for sake of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. Turn there, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So we see that there very plainly. I think I was in 2 Peter there. Sorry about that. That's the verse I was looking for. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now notice this. You see the Trinity right in action here. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. See that? All there. Three in one right there. All there. Amen. So we understand God the Son. John chapter 5 explains that the Son of God is God. John chapter 5. Therefore, verse number 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. See that? They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he made himself equal with God. Saying he was the Son of God, made himself equal with God. Amen? Pretty plain to see, isn't it? And then in Acts chapter 5, turn to Acts chapter 5. You will see the same thing as the Holy Ghost is God. And you'll see that Acts chapter 5. Look what Peter said in verse number 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. See that? Holy Ghost is God. So Joseph Smith had an epileptic fit and a meltdown with this. Couldn't handle this. Brigham Young was too much of a fornicating devil with devils running through him to be able to handle this. So what did they do? They made up something else. Now understand this. There's more verses that deal with this. If we look in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then Genesis chapter 11, verse number 7 again. Let us go down there and confound their languages. That they may not understand one another's speech. So what happened? He said, let us. Amen? You say, but I don't fully comprehend this. Well, neither do I. But you don't have to either. You just have to believe it. I don't know. Hey, listen, I have some of the best books in the world, I think, as far as on Christianity, historically speaking. I've got a vast number of volumes on different topics and everything else. And I have yet to find a preacher. I have yet to find one that I've read after or one that I have heard that could explain the Trinity so everybody could understand it perfectly. There isn't a man in this room that understands it perfectly. Why? Because you have a finite mind and you are not God.
Amen. Right.
And one day when you see Christ, you will understand it. You will understand it. It'll make sense. Amen. It'll all make sense. Say, I can reasonably explain it to you the best I can from the Scriptures. But one day you'll understand it a lot better. It'll make perfect sense to you. But right now it just doesn't make as much sense. I mean, it's hard to explain. Hard to understand that. We can give illustrations, you know, and everything else like that. But at the end of the day, we just have to believe the Bible by faith. And we have to just explain it as best as God has showed us. And one day we'll understand it fully. Amen. But Joseph Smith had to explain away these things. And Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, which we're going to get into right now. I'm just getting warmed up here. This is just the warm up here. All right. So now we're going to get into it here. But I wanted to give you a scriptural basis so you understand. Now, Mormons believe in pagan polytheism. That's what they believe in. What is polytheism? The doctrine of a plurality of gods or invisible beings superior to man and having an agency in government of the world. Mormons try to deny the fact that they are polytheistic. They try to deny that. Oh, no, we only believe it. No, we don't believe it. We believe just like Christians do. Just like we're Christians. We believe just like what the Bible does about it. And they're liars. No, they know you don't believe that. You do not believe that. And I'm going to show you that they believe in multiple gods. They do not believe in one God. So I'm going to get started here and read you a few things so you understand. And I think it's best, like always, you take them at their words and you use their own words against them. You know, not what others have said about them, but you use what they say and you use their words against them. And by their words, they're basically condemned. Okay. The Mormon concept of deity is like this. Number one, the gods are many. Biblical Christianity says that God is one. Number two, the gods are evolving and changing. That's what they believe. Mormonism believes. Christianity believes God is immutable and unchanging. Number three, the gods are material or physical. We're going to show that. But God is immaterial, a spirit. Amen. Number four, the gods are sexual, physically procreating divine spirit children. That's what Mormonism believes. Number five, the gods are polygamous, taking wives and husbands. Yeah, they have some goddesses too. We'll get into that. And number six, the gods are imperfect, requiring salvation. Okay? That's what they believe. You have to understand that. All right, now, the gods are many. Pagan polytheism. How do we know that the Mormon concept of God is pagan? Merely by examining its own teachings. Paganism is defined as practices and beliefs that are incompatible with monotheism. According to the normal understanding of pagan, any religion teaching that there are many gods and that God is finite, He evolves and changes, that matter and spirit are eternal, then Mormonism is properly classified as a heathen religion, offering pagan theology. We talked about monotheism, what that means. So I'll not get into that. We've already discussed that. Mormons emphatically deny that they are polytheists, though. They consider those charges as damnable. They say those are damn. No, we don't believe that. But Bruce McConkie, who is a theologian and a church authority there, he said he insists that the saints' Mormonism are not polytheist. Stephen Robinson, chairman of the Department of Ancient Scripture at Brigham Young University and author of Are Mormons Christians, which he emphatically affirms they are, argues that the Latter-day Saints doctrine does not constitute genuine polytheism. And he takes pains to argue that the Latter-day Saints should be considered worshipers of one true God. He argues that only by distorting and misinterpreting our doctrine can others charge Mormonism with polytheism. Well, actually, that's not true, and we're going to prove that wrong here in a second. All right. But actually, technically, one could say that they are actually henotheistic or henotheistic, because it's a form of polytheism which stresses a central deity. In Mormonism, the central deity is Elohim, whom Mormons call God the Father. But henotheism also accepts other deities. In Mormonism, the other deities accepted include Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and endless other gods who were once men and have now evolved into godhood. All right, so, right, let's see here. Hang on, I don't want to miss this here. Bruce McConkie freely confesses that Mormons believe in three gods. So how do you say, see, here's what they do. In one sentence, they say, we're not pagans and we only believe in one God. And then in another sentence, they'll say, well, no, we believe in three gods. Technically, we believe in three gods. No, you believe in a lot more than that. They just believe, and by the way, their gods are kind of determined by the planet that they're on, okay? or the place that they live. Because they have other gods that are out there rolling around doing all kinds of things, okay? That's just what they believe anyway. All right. Let's see here. I want to read you a couple of these things. Let's see. Okay. Consider the following discussion, the student manual used at Brigham Young University. The doctrines of the gospel. Note the initial claim to worship one supreme absolute being. They say this, by definition, God, generally meaning the Father, is one supreme and absolute being. God is only supreme, is the only supreme governor who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, without beginning of days or end of life. Now, this sounds like monotheism, but as we read further, the discussion digresses from monotheism to henotheism. They say this, thus our relationship with the Father is supreme, paramount, and preeminent over all others. Mormon relationships with other gods. He is the God we worship. He is the one who was once as we are now, i.e. a man. Did you catch that? They just said that their God was once a man, and he evolved in God. Has anybody ever heard of a gospel that evolves man into God? Who preached that gospel? Satan preached that gospel to Eve, didn't he? Ye shall be as gods! Same doctrine, packaged in a different way. Same thing. He is the one who once was as we are now. Further, the three members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all who were once men, remain three separate and distinct entities. Each occupies space and is and can be in but one place at one time. But each has power and influence that is everywhere present. I mean, it's like they were taking like multiple hits of acid or something. Because none of this makes any sense at all. It doesn't make any biblical sense, I'll put it that way. In an attempt to quell the charge of polytheism, the manual resorts to equivocation. There is a oneness in the Godhead, as well as distinctness of personality. The oneness is emphasized in the sayings and writings of prophets and apostles in order to guard against the erroneous idea that these three may be distinct and independent deities. In other words, the claim clearly made that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not distinct independent deities. But just a few pages later, in the very same text, appears this. Both the Father and Son, being omnipotent gods, are designated by the name titles Almighty, Almighty God, Lord Almighty, and Lord God Almighty. These holy beings have all power and unlimited might. You see how they keep going back and forth. Can I explain something to you? When you leave the foundation of Scripture, you will be given over to your wicked and vain imagination. Okay? Your reprobate mind. When you leave the foundation of Scripture, don't be surprised how stupid people get. Because they leave the very foundation of the book, the only book in the world that will tell you who God is and explain to you who God is. When you leave that foundation and you go to anything else, this is what happens. You just open your mind up to a bunch of devils that feed you all kinds of nonsense. Joseph Smith is quoted as declaring, in the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people in it. Funny, I didn't read about any council of gods in the King James Bible. Did you, Brother Paul? Or concoctions. I think the concoctions were Joseph Smith's own personal concoctions. That's what I think. I think they were his concoctions. You know. He said this, at the beginning, the gods organized and formed the heavens and the earth, and the gods called the light day. And the gods also said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. And the gods ordered the expanse so that it divided the waters. And the gods called the expanse heaven. And the gods pronounced the dry land earth. And the gods said, let us prepare the earth to bring forth grass. And the gods organized the lights in the expanse in the heaven. And the gods organized two great lights. I'm not going to read all this to you because he says it over and over again here. And the gods took counsel among themselves and said, let us go down and form man in our image. So the gods went down to organize man in their own image. Organized man in their own image. How about that? I wonder what that was like. And the gods said, we will bless them. And the gods said, behold, we will give them every herb-bearing seed. And the gods formed man from the dust of the ground. And the gods planted a garden eastward in Eden. And the gods took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. All right. Perverts in many ways. You better. Well, when you start perverting God's word, usually you start perverting in other ways. I mean, I've seen Jack Scott tried to play with God's word and he ended up being exposed as a wicked pervert.
Amen.
So when you start playing around with God's word, you got other things going on too.
Yeah.
Every guy I've ever seen do that, that's how they end up. They end up being these deviants in more ways than one, with the book and with fornication and everything else. I mean, it just kind of goes hand in hand. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But, you know, God allows that stuff to be revealed for us to watch and be careful. Amen. Don't mess with God's book. One preacher said that you mess with God's book and he'll mess with your mind, you know. And I've seen it. So I know that's true. Amen. All right. Different aspects of Mormon polytheism. There's so many different aspects. The principal deity is the Father, they say. Oh, by the way, the Mormons' concept of the biblical Trinity is actually tritheistic. And I'm going to explain that in a little while here. Because that's exactly what it is. They don't really believe in a Trinity. Okay? They're more tritheistic than they are in a Trinity. I don't think I'm going to read all this to you here. Let's see. The Father is the supreme member of the Godhead. The Son is the physical God, Jehovah. This is what they believe. Jesus Christ is Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost is another former man who has become a God. Okay, so they were all men. The Holy Ghost was a man, and then he just became God. Now, if you can't figure out that Satan's gospel, I don't think there's much help for you. Right? Actually, I will read you one more quote here. McConkie confesses this, that when he refers to the three principal gods of earth, he says this. To us, speaking in the proper finite sense, these three are the only gods we worship. But in addition, there is an infinite number of holy personages drawn from worlds without number who have passed on to exaltation or godhood and are thus gods. The doctrine of the plurality of gods is so comprehensive and glorious that it reaches out and embraces every exalted personage of God. Those who attain exaltation are gods. I mean, it's like you're reading from any New Age mystics' writings, right? Am I right? You that understand New Age mystics' writings that have seen some, unfortunately, I mean, this is no different than Manly P. Hall. This is no different than any other occultist. Wake up! They've wrapped themselves in a package of Christianity, and it's a lie. They don't even believe the God of the Bible. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Brigham Young taught the same, declaring this. How many gods there are? I do not know. But there never was a time when there were not gods. As we will document later, Joseph Smith claimed that he always taught polytheism. So it's odd to find modern Mormons, I almost said Muslims, claiming they are monotheist, if indeed they respect Smith as God's true prophet. Right? Thus it becomes obvious Here's what Mormon theologian Dwayne Crowther says. Thus it becomes obvious that there are now, and will continue to be, many omnipotent gods who will rule and reign throughout eternity on an ever-increasing number of worlds which they will create. This is not in opposition to the biblical concept of one God, for an earth serves as the dwelling place of the children of only one God. And he alone reigns over his children there as father. Okay, creepy, weird dude. Sorry. What he's basically saying is that, you know, you just go and there's a God of this world. Yeah, we know his name is Satan. And basically what they're saying is that you get to the exaltation and then you get to be a god. And then you go off to a planet and you make spirit babies on that world. And you're the god of that world. And you just keep making spirit babies. That's what you do to populate planets. See what I mean? I mean, it sounds like something out of a scary novel somewhere. But I mean, it's really what these people believe and follow. Now, they won't admit to this, a lot of that. And they try to hide their very documents that tell the truth of it. They just try to hide it. Right. Okay. I want to read you something here in this book, Maze of Mormonism here. By the way, you can pick these books up online, some of these, if you're interested in having any of these materials, just to be able to do this. This is all, they document all of the evidence, okay? They document all the evidence. Oops. This is something here. Yeah, this was really wild. When I learned this about them, I couldn't even believe it. It was just like really, really strange stuff, actually. Let's see. Lost my place here. Give me a second. Okay. Page number, 80 here. All right. So, polytheism. This is what they believe. Okay. God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man, and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. Well, are you ready? All right. He's going to tell us a story. Boy, is he. One of those fishing stories. Sit down, listen to this. We've imagined and supposed that God was God from all of eternity. What's the matter with us? Where would we ever have gotten that concept from, huh? Yeah, from the Word of God. You just imagined that God was God. No, we didn't imagine it. That's what you're doing with your vain imaginations, okay? And your really bad acid trips, okay? That's what you've done. But that's not what the Bible says. We didn't get it from our imagination. We got it from the Word of God. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. Thank you, Guru. It is the first principle of the gospel. It is? Which one? It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God and to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another and that he was once a man like us. Yeah, that God himself, the father of us all, dwelt on an earth. On an earth? On an earth. See that? The same as Jesus Christ did himself. And I will show it from the Bible. Wait a minute. No, you didn't. You didn't show anything. Here then is eternal life. To know the only wise and true God. And you have got to learn how to be gods yourself and to be kings and priests to God. The same as all gods have done before you. Namely, by going from one small degree to another, and from a small capacity to a great one. From grace to grace, from exaltation to exaltation, and until you attain to the resurrection of the dead, and are able to dwell in the everlasting burnings. What? Until you are able to dwell in the everlasting burnings? Why? Can you explain something to me? Why is there so much Roman Catholicism that's sprinkled into this? Oh, I know why. I know why. Because there was a Jesuit that worked along with these guys. Right. No. Not a Jesuit. No, it must have been a Jew that worked with them, right? It wasn't a Jesuit, right? We must have got that wrong, right? Must have been a Jew, right? Because they run the world. We all know in the time of Gentiles that Jews run the world. That's why it's called the time of the Gentiles. That took a lot. Are there rogue Jews? Yeah, I don't have time to go through that right now. Are there Zionists that are out for a plot to destroy the world? Yeah, they're working along with the Pope just right. But anyway, I don't have time to go through that right now. I'll pick that up later, and you can be mad at me later. Send your hate mail to Brother Nate. Okay, he'll take all that hate mail. All right? That's good, isn't it, brother? I know. All right, anyway. I just thought I'd drop that little bit of truth on you there. All right. Number two, here's another one. By the way, that was Joseph Smith Jr. that said that. And number two here, I will preach on the plurality of gods. I have selected this text for that express purpose. I wish to declare I have always and in all congregations when I have preached on the subject of the deity, it has been the plurality of gods. It has been preached by the elders for 15 years. So they're admitting it. I have always declared God to be a distinct personage, Jesus Christ a separate and distinct personage from God the Father, and that the Holy Ghost was a distinct personage and a spirit. And these three constitute three distinct personages and three gods. If this is in accordance with the New Testament, lo and behold, we have three gods. Anyhow, and they are plural. Who can contradict it? Joseph Smith. Next one. The head God organize the heavens and the earth. I defy all the world to refute me. Okay, I will. I will, yeah. In the beginning, the heads of the gods organized the heaven and the earth. The heads of the gods appointed one God for us. Did you know that? The heads of the gods, they appointed one God for us, he said. The heads of the gods, okay. It sets one free to see all the Oh, by the way, listen to this. Let me read this again. The heads of the gods appointed one God for us. And when you take that view of the subject, it sets one free to see all the beauty, holiness, and perfection of the gods. All I want is to get the simple naked truth and the whole truth. Yeah, we bet you want the naked truth. No, he says, many men say there is one God, the Father. The Son and the Holy Ghost are only one God. I say that is a strange God anyhow. Three in one and one in three? It is a curious organization. All are to be crammed into one God? According to sectarianism, it would make the biggest God in all the world.
Amen.
He would be a wonderfully big God. But listen now, hold on, let me wait to the end. He would be a giant or a monster. Joseph Smith, History of the Church. It doesn't end there either, by the way. I got to keep going. The Father has a body of flesh and bone as tangible as man's. The Son also, but the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of spirit. Doctrine and Covenants. How many gods there are? I do not know, but there never was a time. Okay, I read you that one before. I'll skip that one. You don't need to hear it twice. Believe me, it's dumb enough the first time. Each of these gods, including Jesus Christ and his Father, being in possession of not merely an organized spirit, but a glorious immortal body of flesh and bones. Parley Pratt, Key to the Science of Theology. 10th edition. Mormon prophets have continuously taught the sublime truth that God, the Eternal Father, was once a mortal man who passed through a school of earth, life similar to that through which we are now passing. He became God, an exalted being, through obedience to the same eternal purpose, the eternal gospel truths that we are given opportunity today to obey.
So it's all evolution.
It is evolution, that's right. That is what it is. All right, here's Brigham Young's next sermon. My next sermon will be to both saint and sinner. This should be interesting. Our God and Father in heaven is a being of tabernacle. Or in other words, he has a body with parts the same as you and I have. I will tell you now, I will tell you how it is. Our Father in heaven begat all the spirits that ever were or ever will be upon this earth. And they were born spirits in the eternal world. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. It changes like every time you read something. Now hear it, O inhabitants of the earth, Jew and Gentile, saint and sinner. When our father, and I'm going to get to this the next hour, by the way. When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. How many did it take Adam to get in trouble? One. So who's his other wives? Lilith?
Yeah.
Shekinah?
Well,
could be. We'll see. Shekinah gets around a lot. He helped to make the Ancient of Days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our Father, our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. Well, who's your only God? Did you catch that? Who did they say their only God was? There you go. We're going to talk about that the next hour. That's who they say their God is. He is our Father and our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. No, Adam is not my God. Every man upon the earth, professing Christians or non-professing, must hear it and will know it sooner or later. Now, let all who may hear these doctrines pause before they make light of them. Pause, Russ. Paul had to pause the other day over one. Remember that, Paul? You had to pause the other day, remember? When I read that on Wednesday, you had to pause and reflect about this. Pause before they make light of them or treat them with indifference, for they will prove their salvation or damnation. In the Bible, you have read the things I have told you tonight. No, I've never read any things in the Bible. Sorry, Joseph, or Brigham Young. Not one time did I read any of that in the Bible at all. But you have not known what you did read. You got to take some of these funny pills and you'll know exactly what you're reading. I have told you no more than you are conversant with. But what do the people in Christendom with the Bible in their hands know about this subject? Comparatively, nothing. Well, now that was a little interesting, wasn't it? He gets a little upset when you use the Bible as your authority, doesn't he? Brigham Young doesn't like that. Why? Because you can't make up your stinking weird space ghost story that you have, and you can't make up your spirit baby Kolob worlds, and nobody's going to believe you about your sex cult you got there. They're going to know what it is, a bunch of wicked devils running around, a bunch of fornicating devils with a bunch of spirits roaming inside of them, calling down devils from all over the place and calling them out, and probably have a fallen angel to toot a boot around you. Anyway, so these guys, that was their, we'll get to more of that later. The Mormon Trinity, by the way, is not the same as the Bible. Understand that. Joseph Smith mocks the Trinity. I read you that verse, I think, what he said there. But Joseph, they are tritheistic. They do not really believe in a Trinity. Okay, you have to understand that. They act as if they do believe in a Trinity, but they really don't. Mormons do not believe in the Trinity. They believe in tritheism. They believe in three gods for this particular earth and accept the existence of endless other gods on endless other earths. The very fact that they caricature the Bible teaching on the Trinity indicates that they reject the concept of one triune God. So here's Joseph Smith himself. He says this. Many men... Oh, I read that to you. Actually, I read that quote to you. I won't read that again. Because, like I said, it's dumb enough the first time. Okay, anyway. Let me get to the next one here. This is why Joseph Smith stated that whenever he preached on the subject of God, it was always in reference to polytheistic beliefs. In his own words, he declared while preaching on Genesis 1:1, I will preach on the plurality of gods. That's what he said. So how do they say that they don't believe in that? See, because they have an ever-evolving teaching that tries to change to hide them. And then now these secrets and these other things are only when you get high up into the temple worship that you find out some of these things now. So the average Mormon walking down the road doesn't understand a lot of these things. They've never heard them before. Right. Same thing as the Masonic Order. That's right, because they came... They're an esoteric cult and they're a spinoff of Mormon... Freemasonry. You know, he took the secrets, and some say that that's why he was murdered, because he stole the secrets of Freemasonry and took it to the temple, and that's why he was killed. And I documented that. Bill Schneblin talks about the fact that he had a ring that he had his Mason ring on, and he did the Mason sign of distress, and they said, nope, there's no help for the poor widow's son, and they blew his brains out. And it was Masons that blew his brains out and killed him. Why? Because he took the secrets of Mormonism. You find it now. Captain Morgan, it's kind of strange that Captain Morgan's wife married Joseph Smith. Captain Morgan was the one that outed who? The Masonic Order. Okay? So who'd she go to as soon as Captain Morgan died? The next witch that was around, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mary Joseph Smith. You find that all documented. Yep, one of his wives. Mm-hmm. By the way, Eric Phelps says he has proof, and he's documented proof, that Campbell Morgan was not killed by Masons. He says that he was killed by Jesuit coadjutor priests that killed Campbell Morgan. Captain Morgan, not Campbell. Is it Captain Morgan? I don't know, I get his name confused. I'm saying Campbell Morgan, so that's actually Captain Morgan. He says that it was priests that killed him, and he has proof, and he's documented two books that were written on the subject at the same time that dealt with the fact that the priests killed him because he outed the secrets of the Masonic Order. Now, why would a priest care about the secrets of the Masonic Order? Right, because they run it, because the Black Pope runs it. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that, how Freemasonry was co-opted and taken over through Jesuit control a long time ago. I mean, back in the times of Adam Weishaupt, or however people say his name. I've heard people say it. Yeah, I've heard people say it like three different ways. But anyway, that guy, yeah. So, okay, let's see here. Joseph Smith, he mocks the Trinity, says this. And who or what is God? Is he incomprehensible? Well, Bruce McConkie says this, actually. Is he the incomprehensible, uncreated, immaterial nothingness described in the creeds of Christendom? A three-in-one nothingness? A spirit essence filling immensity, as incorporeal? Uncreated, being incapable of definition or moral comprehension? An unknown God who does not appear to men? They're mocking. Why? Because they serve the devil. That's why. They're polytheistic. They serve many gods. That's right. By the way, the Bible's very clear. We talked about the Trinity in the beginning. The Bible's very clear about the Trinity. And we've explained that. Well, what do the Mormons believe about the Holy Ghost? I guess it's important to understand this, and then we're done with this message here. What do the Mormons believe about the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm going to read you what they believe about him, so then you can understand it. Joseph Smith supposedly revealed the specific nature of the Holy Ghost in his writing on the matter found in section 130 of Doctrine and Covenants. The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, the Son also. But the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but a personage of spirit. Were it not so, the Holy Ghost could not dwell in us. A man may receive the Holy Ghost, and it may descend upon him and not tarry with him. Brigham Young taught this about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, we believe, is one of the characters that form the Trinity or the Godhead. Not one person in three, nor three persons in one. But the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one in essence at the hearts of three men who are united in all things. So their gods are three men. Do you see that? Well, some of their gods. It's kind of confusing. Because Adam's their god too. So it gets really weird. But one thing at a time. Can't tackle all of them at once. He is one of the three characters we believe in. One of the three characters. Whose office it is to administer to those of the human family who love the truth. I have stated that they are one, as the hearts of three men might be one. Lest you should mistake me, I will say that I do not wish you to understand the Holy Ghost as a personage having a tabernacle like the Father and the Son, but he is God's messenger that diffuses his influence through all the works of the Almighty. What a mix-match bunch of false teaching, right? The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead, says Bruce McConkie. He is a personage of spirit, a spirit person, a spirit man, a spirit entity. He can be in only one place at one time. You hear that? So much for in him we live and move and have our being, right? He can only be in one place in one time. So how is he in all of us if he can only be in one place in one time? What's that? He's real fast. And he does not... You ready? And he does not and cannot transform himself into any other form of or image than that of a man whom he is. So the Holy Spirit's a man. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Through his power, though his power and influence can be manifest at one and the same time through all immensity. You see how they go back and forth? So they try to cover their bases. They teach a bunch of heresy. Then they try to come back with an equivocational statement to try to make it sound like they're real. That's what devils do. By the way, even the devils know there's one God. Amen. And they believe and tremble. But Mormons are not smart enough to do that. Especially these high-level wicked ones. All right? And then I'm going to read you one thing here, then we're almost done here. One more thing after that, too. So let me... All right. The Mormon Church claims that it believes in the Holy Spirit and what it terms the Holy Ghost. Technically, the Holy Ghost, an exalted man, and the Holy Spirit, sometimes a synonymous term, but also the mind, power, influence of God the Father, are divided into two separate concepts and or confused with the person of Christ. Mormon authority James Talmadge asserts that only Mormons possess the Holy Spirit. Only Mormons. The Holy Ghost may be regarded as the minister of the Godhead, carrying into effect the decisions of the supreme councils of gods. The power of the Holy Ghost is the spirit of prophecy and revelation. God grants the gifts of the Holy Ghost unto the obedient. The authority to so bestow the Holy Ghost belongs only to the higher of Melchizedek priesthood. And that's a whole other thing to go through, the Melchizedek priesthood. They believe about that. Okay? What does the Bible say? By the way, let me read you what Mormonism has said in the past about the Holy Ghost back and forth. They say this: he's a personal being, something like electricity. I don't know. A personage of spirit, the influence of deity, the third deity in the Mormon Trinity or Godhead, not the third deity in the Trinity. The mind of the Father and Son, a male, a few have suggested female spirit, without a body. May yet receive a body. Impersonal. Personal. A spirit who has no other effect than pure intelligence. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. A localized spirit man on the power or gift of the Holy Ghost. Or an impersonable, omnipresent substance or the spirit body of Jesus Christ. Just all over the place. What does the Bible say who the Holy Ghost is? He is personal. He loves. He has a will. He convicts of sin, commands and forbids. He speaks his message. He speaks to believers and for believers. He intercedes for them. He teaches, comforts, and guides in the truth. He can be blasphemed. He can be grieved. He's a person. He's God. Amen? The Holy Spirit has the attributes of deity. He's omnipresent, omniscient, eternal, and omnipotent. He is the creator of the universe as well. Remember what happened to the Holy Ghost moved upon what? Right? He also is identified as God by the divine associations in the Scripture. He indwells the believer, strives with man, inspires the Word of God, sanctifies the believer. That's right. That's why your King James Bible is inspired. Right there. That's why. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen? He speaks. He sends forth labors. He can be tested. Inspires divine love. Many other things the Holy Ghost does. Amen? And is a person. He's not the force, Luke. Okay? He's not. As some people teach. The Holy Ghost is like Star Wars or something like the force. No, that's Gnosticism. It's wicked paganism is all that is. Yeah, or karma. It's like this 14-year-old lesbian girl told us last night. I go, you think it's okay? You don't believe in right and wrong? I asked him, well, what if somebody murdered you? Would that be wrong? Yeah, it'd be wrong, but karma would come back to get him. Who's karma? Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Anyway, the Bible gives the definition of who the Holy Ghost is. So as you can see, Mormons do not believe the Bible. Mormons believe in pagan polytheism, multiple gods. They do not believe in the God of the Bible. So when they say God, you have to understand they mean gods, and they mean many gods, and they mean for one specific planet. There are gods. So when they say there is one, there is one God, or there's God, there's gods of planets. But there are gods everywhere. Now what is that? It's polytheism. It's not monotheism. It's not Christianity. Father, Lord, we thank you for your words. We pray you'd bless us now. And Lord, bless the next hour that we have. Help us to honor and glorify you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, that's not bad. That was only 54 minutes. How about that?